Take your time, take your time. Take your time.
Other arms,
other
arms reach out to me.
Ooh.
Other eyes smile so tenderly. Still and peaceful dream I see on the road.
The road.
Say it, baby.
Leads right on back to you. That's why I say Georgia.
That's my mama.
Georgia. The whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia
forever
on my mind, on my mind.
That's my mama they talking about.
Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Oh, I cry. Georgia, Georgia,
Georgia Lee. You have just heard the amazing voices and instrumentation of, to my left, the great Barbara Morrison and the incomparable Darryl Guitar Darden. Welcome to the June 13th edition of Uncle Bobby's Country Corner, where real men do not play. The song that they just did, Ray Charles made famous, and when I was a little boy, my mother loved that song because her name was Georgia Lee. And we just made that up. We actually were going to play some of her recorded material, and you get to know a whole lot more about her in a few minutes, but just because music speaks louder than words, and they in the studio, I say, why play something recorded when we can record what they saying and singing right here for this audience? So again, Barbara and Darryl, thank y'all for being friends. I mean, real friends to
That's
me
right.
for many years.
Yes.
And welcome to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner.
Thank you, Uncle Bobby.
I'm going to get right back to the two of y'all in a minute, because we're going to pitch a wang dang doodle.
Amen.
We're going to paint the town red.
There you go.
And I got the brushes in my back pocket. So let's just go ahead and do what we're going to do, you know, because it's a celebration of life.
Yes, it is.
While we can live it. On the phone, I have a brother who is an amazing man. I met him actually through a phone conversation. He lives in the Washington, D.C. area. He played professional football for the Baltimore Ravens, and then he went back to his roots because he comes from an incredible family. And his gift now, after professional sports, he'll tell you about it himself. Lindy Washington, welcome to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner.
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
How you doing, man?
I'm real good. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the call.
Well, first of all, let me just give them a little backdrop on how we got to this place that we are right now. Lindy reached out to me a few years ago through some other things that I was involved in, and then he shared with me what he does. And then just to show you the kind of man he is, on his own dime, first he created a portrait of the great Jim Brown.
Wow.
And he brought the portrait you see on the screen right now from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles to participate in an evening with real men. And in that picture, you see Jim Brown and Sam Watson and the great work that my brother put together. And we have formed a bond, and in a few months, he's going to do an exhibit, maybe several of them here in the greater Los Angeles area, of his amazing work. So first of all, Lindy, tell us a little something about your gift.
Okay. Well, to start it off, man, my great-grandfather actually was an artist, and I'm named after his nickname. His name was Linwood Lindy Jordan. So my name is Lindy Washington, so I'm actually the nickname. So starting off, I didn't actually like art. I was all football. My father had me into football, and I liked football. But my great-grandfather, he put me in front of that pencil, And he said, why don't you use your mind and do something creative and, you know, busting your head against another man, that's not smart long term. Of course, I didn't listen to him. But he passed away in 91, so he never got a chance to see me receive a full scholarship. But I received a full scholarship, I graduated.
University of Maryland, correct?
University of Maryland, and then what's important about that is he was also an art professor. He was not allowed to teach at the University of Maryland because of his skin. So when I graduated from the University of Maryland, I made sure the whole class knew that, and I thanked them for their free degree. All right? So more about me with the football stuff is I went all through the system. I went through, you know, the boys club, the Catholic schools, the university. Then I get to the pro level. And I knew it wasn't going to last long because the numbers didn't look right, you know. So at that point, I figured out, I was like, man, I can't control my nerves anymore. So I got to do what I know and what I was taught. So that it was at that point when I said, I just can't allow another man to tap me on my shoulder and tell me when I got to go home again. And that's what I'm living by now. And my agenda so far as my art is to inform the youth and all, because what I've noticed in the last, I'd say, 10 years or so, when I really got in depth with my art, is that a lot of our culture is not being passed along within art. So as a kid, the only thing I could really relate to was J.J. painting, which was Ernie Barnes. So when I got in college, I was actually inspired to go learn about Ernie Barnes. And then I found out he played 7 years in the NFL. I was like, this is crazy. How could I not know that? You know, I looked up to the man's artwork and didn't even know who the man was as a kid growing up watching TV. So that's when, you know, I said, I need to make sure that when I paint, it's with a purpose now. So whenever I paint someone, regardless of color, it's about their character and what they represent and what they do. If I can't teach through the art, I don't even want to paint it.
Well, so, let's talk a little bit briefly because we only have a couple of minutes for this segment of the show, and you will be a return guest for sure on several different dimensions. What is fine art, and how does it apply to what it is that you do within the genre of art?
Okay, the thing with the fine art is a matter of who you're associated with, pretty much like any other thing, but I found out over the last couple of years, so far as associating myself with the art world, they kind of didn't, you know, like my message. So I've taken it upon myself to go on my own, you know. And I have no problem with that because my message is going to be the way I want it portrayed. So as far as the art world, I'm not really into the art world. I studied the art world. I got my degree in it and all that. But they kind of didn't like me and what I do. But that's fine because it's going to be my way, so. I'm not even worried about it.
So basically, once you've found your own path, your exhibits, how have you put those together and how has that culminated in what we'll be doing in Los Angeles this year?
What I do is public and private. I get like-minded people around, and what I do with my art is I discuss each topic and person I've painted, and I go into detail and, you know, why I painted them, why I use that image, and, you know, what's important about this person for later on for the legacy, you know, of the person, because sometimes those messages are portrayed wrong in the media. So I always capture the good parts of it, the subjects I paint. So when I come out to L.A., I'll be doing, public and some private shows, and I'll walk through my exhibit. I have over 50, 65 pieces that I put on display, and I walk around and I discuss them all.
You know, before we get off the phone, we've just put up a portrait that you did of the late, what's the sister's name?
Shirley Jones.
Maya Angelou.
Oh, Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou.
And yeah, what I love about Maya Angelou is it's funny how mainstream always portray how a woman should look, but when you really go home and look at your family, most of them look like her. Am I wrong with saying that?
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's why I painted her. My reason for painting her is totally different from what people would think. Of course, she was a great, philosopher, poet, all of that. I got all of that. But what really captured me about her is that's how our family really looked. Why not show a little girl what she really looked like?
Right. So if someone wanted more information about Lindy Washington and Lindy Fine Art, how would they go about doing that?
Okay. LindyWashington.com is LYND. And Washington.com, or you can just go on any social media site and look up Lindy Fine Art, which is my business name. Lynde Fine Art. That's it.
So, again, brother, we're going to get further in depth with this because he's a part of the American family, the American movement, and a part of the world family, and a gifted brother, conscious, rock solid, family man, good people. So, Lindy, thanks for stopping by Uncle Bobby's Country Corner, and I'm going to make sure that you ain't a stranger.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Talk to you real soon, man.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Woo, man. Hey, you still with us?
Still with you.
You still with me.
That was very interesting.
Fascinating brother, you know. He called me up and he said, man, I want to be a part of what you do. He had read my book and seen me on other people's shows and just a real supportive people, as the two of you are. Okay.
Well, that's how it's done.
Yeah. Yes. A little about the amazing Barbara Morrison. Forget all of the stuff that you can read about. I want to talk about the person that I know and have known, and how I met her. I was at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel about 30 years ago. I was supposed to have had a meeting with her dear friend, the great Dionne Warwick. She was supporting the work I was doing at the Marcus Garvey School. So I'm trying to figure out how we're going to get this money raised to keep these kids, you know, on that track of fast learning, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't really know Barbara Morrison or anything about her. And so I get to the hotel, and because this is Dionne Warwick, she said, you know what? I had forgot. I was going to meet you here. I forgot why I was coming to the Hollywood Roosevelt. I got a friend I want to see perform. And I'm crushed because I ain't got but, you know, this is the first time I'm meeting her, big time, lifetime fan of Dionne Warwick. And now she telling me we ain't going to talk about what I want to talk about. We getting ready to go in this lounge and listen to some woman sing. And I'm like, oh, man. So we go in the lounge and she takes the stage. And after one note, I looked at Dionne and she was looking like I usually do as a fan of you guys. You know, I sit there in amazement when y'all do what y'all do. And she's looking at her like I would look at her. I mean, like I would look at Dionne on the stage. And then she cut loose, right? And then Dionne looked at me and said, I'll tell you who this is. This is a singer.
Aww.
And I will never forget that distinction. There are people who are popular, get all the acclaim, all the money and the awards and everything, but within the business, the singers know who the singers are.
Yes.
And not only did Dionne say that, she bared witness. Her testimony was her in that microphone. So by the time she got through, I was like, what did I come over here for? And me and this wonderful lady have been friends ever since.
Yes, we have.
And what she's doing in this community right now is nothing short of amazing. So if you would, please tell them a little bit about the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center, as well as the California Jazz and Blues Museum.
Okay. You know how when you take a look at your life and the things you've done and the things you've always wanted to do, and you've done a lot of them, it's called age.
Yeah, I know a little something about that. Yeah. Yeah, I got a few tracks on my.
For a long time, I had a disease called diabetes, and I didn't know I had it. And when I contracted diabetes, I figured, I gotta deal with this and deal with it right straight. Strictly outright out with it. Well, I did for about 10 years. And after about 10 years, I thought I had licked it, but I didn't. And when I realized it, I said, well, you got to, as the football coach would say, if you see somebody in your hole, go to another hole.
Mm.
So I had to go to another hole. And that's when I started opening the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center. I said, well, if I come off the road, I can take better care of myself. And unfortunately, it was a little too late, and I had to deal with the issue of amputation. But I found it something to do. God put me in another hole. And I looked around our community, and I said, whoa, this is a rich, rich community.
We're talking about the Crenshaw.
We're talking about 240 African-American businesses in one area. One of the biggest African-American
enclaves
in the United States. Then I looked around at the different places, all the talent, and I said, whoa, these are some of the baddest people on earth. What's going on here? And I figured, well, we'll have a place for them to display their talent. And so far, it's really worked because a couple of the kids from our programs have landed TV shows on the Disney Channel, and people have a place to come and see them, not just grown-ups. But we have a project called the Harmony Project, where 1,200 kids throughout the city can learn music for free, because if their parents can't afford to pay for them to go to school, and they can have what every other kid has. It's one thing my father told me when I was getting a divorce, and I called him on the phone and I said, Daddy, how come you didn't tell me? How come you didn't tell me this, and how come you didn't tell me that? And he said, well, for one reason, I always felt like I had intelligent kids. That's number one. And I always thought they were smart enough to make their own decisions. And the other reason is I always wanted to be your friend. Now you made those decisions, and you can't blame me for it. You have to make your own decisions. So my decision to take care of myself and my diabetes and my health issues was to see and educate other people like me on the brink of making that mistake. So they wouldn't, especially, you got to start here. They take that popsicle or out the little kid's hand, put something nice in it for them to eat. And through nutrition and a lot of other things, you can conquer. You can conquer. Even though I have the amputations that I have, I'm on the right track now.
We're going to add this to the mix, okay?
Okay. Yeah. I'm on the right track. So mentally, I felt like I should help people who had never been to Europe. On my first trip to Europe, you know who was with me? Bull Moose Jackson. He was 70 years old.
That's why I didn't know who he was. Who was Bull Moose Jackson?
We too young. I tell you what, you didn't have to know who he was, but the Europeans knew who he was.
Who was he, real quick?
I love you, yes I do. Had the biggest hit back in the 30s, excuse me.
Oh.
The biggest hits back in the 30s, and when I saw him, he was, you know, a little cripple. And I was a young girl, and I said, this man needs help. So I ordered a wheelchair, and I took him all through the airport. Everywhere we went, I ordered a wheelchair to every country. And you would have thought the Beatles were there.
Mm.
When he opened his mouth, he was a little short man, and a bunch of white kids had found him working in the kitchen. They didn't know he was a big star. And they all pooled their money together and sent him to Europe.
Wow.
But he didn't have a band, he didn't have anything. So we adopted him, our band, the Johnny Otis Show.
Johnny Otis, my goodness.
We adopted Bull Moose and we put him in our band. And here's the cutest story on earth. We were at the Excelsior Hotel in Switzerland. The rooms were $500 a night, and they had these mini bars. Well, he and Freddie were roommates, and they didn't know that.
Freddie who?
Freddie Clark, the saxophone player.
Okay.
And they didn't know that if you drank out of those mini bars, each day they replaced them. So they were taking the stuff out of the mini bars and putting it in their suitcase every night. So at the end of the week, when it came to check out,
that tab was bigger than the room.
They said, man, you owe me some skin dola. Well, Johnny, being the artist that he was, he made a caricature of it.
Oh.
He made a caricature of them getting to the front desk, and the lady says, give them the bill, and they're going, who?
Ain't nothing free.
Well, to me, in my somehow little twitted, mixed up, crazy young mind, I felt that everybody who wanted to do this should have an experience like that, should go to another country and see. America's great, but they do things in other countries that make sense, makes more sense than the way we do them.
Yes.
You have to learn how to develop yourself to be in a different custom, in a different culture. And to me, a lot of people around where we were had never been out of the area where they had been.
So let me ask you a question in the interest of time. How big, I know you're such a humble friend, but you need to tell me because I wouldn't know otherwise, just because it's the truth, okay? How big are you in Europe?
Very. I'd say I could probably draw 70,000 people on a festival, not by myself.
You didn't say 7,000, you said 70,000.
Yeah.
And the reason I know that's true is the reason why I asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons jazz only suffers in America mm-hmm. is our own people's lack of appreciation of our greatness. And I'm just saying that because this is the purpose of this show, Models of Possibility, Best Practices. We're sitting with international royalty.
Yes, yes.
And I know that because of the things you've been able to do through the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center okay. in terms of the quality and the number of shows that you put on annually. How many shows do you put on via the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center?
I'd probably say about 198,
200. 200 shows.
Yeah. We
a year.
Yeah. It seems impossible sometimes, but when you add them all up, whoa, you know, whoa.
And just to, you know, bring my brother into the conversation and at the same time keep her center stage.
He works more than I do.
That's not what I'm talking about. We're going to get to that in a minute. But when this lady calls people, they come. And they don't ask her about the scale and all of that, you know, because these are people who, just like yourself, when they go overseas primarily, they get financially rewarded very well. When they play here in the United States, and especially in the black community, it's a friend to a favor. And I've seen people that wouldn't be in this community performing but for your relationship with them.
Aww.
So when she called you and asked you to do a tribute to George Benson, why did you come?
Because I was honored. George is a personal friend of mine, and Barbara is also. And Barbara and I go back about 20 years. We met uniquely on a bandstand at Michael's. I don't know if she remembers this. We met at Michael's. We were on a Monday night jam where they were smoking cigars. It was Don Cornelius' special hangout spot, Leroy Ball's band. And it was every Monday night off of La Cienega. Anyway, when I met her, I was newly in
L.A.
And just a group of talented people on stage. And I say, wow, okay. And she was always pleasant, so sweet. And we just bonded. And after that, we started doing weddings together for agencies and just moving on. So I'm honored to be Barbara's friend as well as yours. And she's always been, you know, she's always been a pleasant person that gives you, you know, inspiration to keep on doing what you're doing. And we've supported each other over
ditto.
The years.
Ditto.
Yes.
And I'm going to take a minute just for some historical backdrop. I'm going to get back to you momentarily, Barbara. Mm-hmm. Darryl Dodden is originally from one of the music meccas of the United States, St. Louis, Missouri. And it's such a rich city musically that he had, by the time he was 17 years old, an opportunity to travel the world with a rock and roll Hall of Famer by the name of Albert King. Is that about right?
Yes.
That ought to tell you something right there. Anybody, for those of y'all that don't even know who Albert King is, Google him. He was 6'6".
Yes. 300 pounds.
Black as an ace of spades.
Yep. 300 pounds.
Meaner than a junkyard dog.
Barbara, come put some of this lotion on my Barbara.
But he loved him some Daryl Dodd, boy. Yeah, yes. So take us back there. You 17 years old, man, and you going around the world with a jazz and blues legend, man.
Yes.
Everybody know about B.B. King.
Yeah.
But that left hand, boy. Woo-wee.
Yes, Abbott, man, I tell you. Coming up through St. Louis, all the musicians would talk about his reputation. And he was known to be very mean and vicious. He'd been known to hit musicians on stage because the music didn't go right or they wasn't focused.
Uh-huh.
And he was almost like James Brown. James Brown had
just bigger.
Yeah, but James.
A whole lot bigger.
Yeah, but James, he was rough on stage too at rehearsals, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Abbott, man, I witnessed him going to Europe. Like Barbara said, we are very honored over
Europe. I played with him in Europe.
You did? Oh. Okay. We went to Yugoslavia. And I witnessed how powerful the blues is. And Nancy Wilson opened up the show. Beautiful, elegant. Then Dexter Gordon Big Band came on. Then Thad Jones, Mel Lewis Big Band.
Oh, man.
I'm sitting in the audience watching this. We came on, a four-piece blues band from St. Louis, Albert King. The whole place erupted. I've never.
After all of those incredible artists, y'all was the headline.
Headline, man.
Wow. Let me just enter.
Please.
Here. They have over 400 jazz festivals in Europe every year. One blues festival will pay for all of them.
What?
I rest my case.
Wow.
400 jazz
I'm
festivals.
I'm just talking about how big the blues is. I ain't trying to start.
One blues festival will pay for all of them.
I ain't trying to start.
No wonder they say, hey, the blues is all right.
And it's a spiritual part of the blues that really touches people. I witnessed these Europeans, man, they just lost their minds. Albert King came out, and I'm telling you, the
raw.
You
would have thought the Beatles were on stage.
Exactly. It was so incredible. I said, wow, look, this is for us. And Abbott went out and just put the blues down. And these people were so welcoming. One guy came up and invited the band to his house, his little small apartment in Yugoslavia. For you know, he was an awesome piano player.
That was a lifetime experience for him. And
yes.
That's what I'm trying to create in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only are you trying, Barbara, you're a long way down that road.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I got to put my glasses on. It ain't my best look, but I want to at least be able to see what
right,
I'm talking
Uncle
about.
Bobby.
This weekend, if I ain't mistaken, Sunday.
Saturday.
June okay, 17th. Saturday it is. Okay,
June 17th.
Well, you can see it better now. I can't tell them what
Muddy
it is.
Muddy Waters, the most influential guitarist in the blues.
Yes.
Muddy Waters' son, Big Bill Morganfield.
Okay.
His son, his biological son.
His biological son.
Muddy Waters.
Muddy Waters.
Going to be where?
Affectionately known. A lot of people don't know Muddy Waters' name. Muddy Waters' name is McKinley Morganfield.
I forgot it was. I knew it was something else, but go ahead and tell the
his
story.
His son, Big Bill Morganfield, will be coming in from Atlanta.
Okay.
His band will be coming in from Fresno. And he will be playing right here in the Merck Park, 4318 Dagnan Boulevard. Doors open at 4, show starts at 5. Bernie Pearl Blues Band, The Other Muse, The King Brothers, and we got the Little Harmony. Remember I told you about the little kids?
Yeah.
We teaching them the blues.
So this is Saturday.
Saturday, the day before Father's Day.
They canceled
Father's
that.
Day.
They canceled Father's Day. Lack of interest. But go ahead.
And Father's Day, we have the Women of the Blues at the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center.
Now, that's 4318.
4318, the Vision parking lot.
Okay. Now, here's where we're going to start really getting this thing tight.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nowhere on here that this is Muddy Waters' son.
The rising sun right here.
No, not the rising sun. Muddy Waters' son. There's a whole lot of folk got rising sun. No, you can't sell a secret. Don't you know?
But the name of the festival is the West Coast.
I get all of that. But I'm trying to tell you how big you are. And we all got to, you know, a rising tide lifts all the boats. Because, see, where she's talking about 4318
Degnan,
is she could have walked over here.
Yeah.
Okay. It's across the street.
Because
where Morris Media Studios, we're in the epicenter of the new L.A.
Right.
Now, we got some new neighbors.
Yes, we do.
We don't share the same complexion.
No, we don't.
You see what I mean? They walking dogs and everything, you know. But they'll be over there before we will if they knew that Muddy Waters' son was up in there.
Sure.
You see what I mean? So we're just going to go ahead and take advantage of the facts that take advantage of the fact that the community is changing, and these people already know more about the blues than we do.
Yeah.
So we got to let them know. We ain't got time, but I might find a way to get some flyers done. Say, look, Muddy Waters' son gonna be. You ain't got enough room if I did all that. Mm-hmm. But we'd have to add another show or something. Yeah. But that's how incredible this lady, Muddy Waters' son,
No doubt.
Coming to here from Atlanta. Yeah. Man, he would charge these people an arm and a leg.
Well,
and a shoulder too.
You see. He wouldn't get much over here.
Now you talking about I'm talking about net value.
I know.
The real value. Because these people do these shows for you.
Well, he has the top TV show now.
Wow.
Really?
And he has the number one blues record in the country.
Really?
Right now. Shots fired.
Shots fired. We all know something about that, don't we?
Blood stains on the wall.
Blood stains on the wall. Mm-hmm. Well, look here, Barbara. I know you got an appearance that you make every Tuesday night on the other side of town. What time you need to be there?
Seven.
So you're going to give me another 10, 15 minutes.
I'm going to Pips, 1356 La Brea. Yeah.
And how long are you going to be performing there?
I'll be there till 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Well, you know, hold my holler. See, when I go see y'all, y'all hold my. See, I'm the unofficial conductor of whatever band she's in, whatever band Daryl's in. So I'll be over there for his old with and just let him know, you know that old crazy country boy be over here in a minute. Don't y'all put him out because he going to show out. But anyway, give him a little something, you know, like we just do. Because I done been with Barbara and you, and I ain't seen y'all go nowhere where y'all just don't go ahead and say a one, a two, you know what to do. So what do you feel like doing right now, Barbara?
Put me in B flat, Daryl.
And that's all I need to do. Get on out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, because here we go. Here we go, live at Morris Media Studios. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Barbara Morrison and the great Daryl Dodge.
Said the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
They say there's always magic in the air. And when you're walking down the street, you ain't had enough to eat. The glitter always off, and you're nowhere.
They say that the women treat you fine on Broadway.
Shoot, Crenshaw too.
Looking at them just give deep the blues.
Yes, sir.
'Cause they sometimes, I know sometimes, when all you got is one thin dime, and one thin dime won't even shine your shoe.
It get worse than that.
They say I won't last too long on Broadway.
On Broadway.
I'll catch a greyhound bus for home. That's what the people say. Oh, but they're wrong, I know they're wrong, 'cause I can sing a funky song, and I won't pretend I'm a star on Broadway. On Broadway.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
I will see Uncle Bobby on Broadway. You'll be trucking down the avenue on Broadway.
Yes. But y'all be glad I can't sing, boy.
What did I tell you?
Ladies and gentlemen, it might be 10, 20 years from now before this really sinks in, what you have heard and witnessed here tonight. This is music royalty. We're going to take a short pause. I want you to do one more thing for me before I leave, because I want to leave you enough room. They're going to wait on you anyway, but I just want to, you know, respect your time. We're going to take a little short pause, and we'll be right back with Barbara Morrison and Guitar Daryl Dodd. and whatnot. You was listening to the jazz stylings of the Barbara Morrison, what is it, trio? Well, whatever it is, because she does it all the way from on the corner to...
I didn't even hear it.
Who?
Oh, that's River's Invitation. Okay. I got that from Percy Mayfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, he wrote Hit the Road, Jack and Ray Charles. Mm-hmm.
And Don't You Come Back No More, yeah. No More, No More. Mm-hmm. So, Barbara... let's give them a way to get your music. Is there a website or something that they can get?
Yeah,
stuff
but Amazon has it. Amazon.com and Amazon's the best way.
Oh, okay, Amazon.
Unless you want to come over to the California Jazz and Blues Museum.
I'm telling you.
I got some CDs right there.
See, there
come
you
on
go.
Over.
real quickly, your plate was already full with the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center. How did you find the time and the resources to open up the California Jazz and Blues Museum?
Oh.
Right around the corner from the
I know.
Arts Center.
I just, you know how you have a vision?
Yeah.
And some of the people, I'm going to tell you what hurt me a lot. When Mama died, you know, Babes and Ricks.
Oh. So
when Mama died, I was like, wait a minute, somebody got to remember this lady.
Mm.
Look at all the people she helped and all the bands. And
just for qualifications, because most of the people listening to the show have no idea who Babes and Ricks is or Mama.
I'm one, I'm one. I wasn't here, I wasn't
Babe and Ricks was at the heart of Central Avenue.
Okay.
When it was bumping.
That's the only place where black people could go. Mm-hmm. And then white people start going there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the Rubaiyat Hotel. That's the only where black people could work.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't work in the hotels in Beverly Hills mm-hmm. or nothing like that. But Mama had Babe and Rick's.
Mm.
And that's where all the blues people would go. After Johnny Otis, the Barrel House was no longer there and... all those places that shut down, then here we come.
Yeah.
The kid, you know, the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed there till she died, you know, and that's, it didn't matter where you went.
Yes.
When you came to California, if you wanted blues, you could go to Mama's.
Wow.
You could go to Babe and Rick's. Damn. And she sat on the door.
Mm.
Matter of fact, she lost her legs like I did.
Mm.
And when she passed away, it evaporated. And I said, whoa. And I watched the Cat and Fiddle. I watched one of my friends stay there for 30 years. And then when he got older, they just...
pushed him out.
I went and found him. I said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I want you to be there every Sunday. Just give him something to do. We have to look out for our seniors and the people that are leaving stuff and teaching you stuff mm-hmm. and showing you how to do stuff and writing your charts and making you who you are. I had when I was 22, I had a guy come to me, an older gentleman, maybe 30 years my senior, and he said, you got any big band charts? And I said, no, I don't have any big band charts. He said, you get you some big band charts. He said, you're a halfway decent little singer. But I tell you something, ain't nobody in this town got big band charts. He said, you get you some big band charts and you can work for the rest of your life in every country, in all over the world and take your big band charts. And guess what?
Yes.
I started accumulating my big band charts. I went to Paris. I went to Australia. I went to Spain. I got the Philip Morris Super Band, and I was looking at this man was guiding me.
Yes.
And that's why I said, well, there's no more Mama. There's no more Art Hillary.
Yeah, I know that.
There's
man.
No more. Ronaldo Ray used to call him Artillery.
Billy
there's no
Higgs.
More. I got a stack a church from Art Hillary. Wow. Mm. And I still use them today. Good. And when I go to other countries, people, wow. And I recorded them. These are people that gave me a chance. You know how much a big band charge cost me today?
What?
$2,800.
Just a charge?
Wait a minute. I don't think you heard me.
No, I didn't. I really
$2,800.
Didn't. Now, let's explain the significance of that. That's some music that's been written many, 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 many years ago, right?
And I can play. Well, it could be an original, but I've played with symphony orchestras with my symphony charts. My big band church, a conductor, a popular condutomel, he can probably get $28,000.
Wow.
But I'm just trying to
it's
say.
For a bunch of guys.
Okay, that's what. Well,
the Metropole.
Right. It's the music on paper.
Yeah, right.
And it's ready okay. for
WCA.
30 guys, 40 guys.
Right.
That's right.
Have you seen Gregory Porter at the Metropole?
Ooh.
He was at the Hollywood.
I'm talking about the Metropole.
No.
Amsterdam.
Oh, no. You see, I'm local.
But wait.
Yeah.
You're local.
Yeah.
But that's my point exactly. We got local people in the African American community who can do that. You get the stuff you everybody. Oh man, get on the elevator. Do you know that's a whole 60-piece orchestra on the elevator and in the supermarket?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't know it was a black man? Come on, man.
Well, that's why I'm
that's
doing
what Obama,
this show.
That's what Obama say. Come on, man.
That's why I'm doing this show.
Well, that's I say that to you. I have very few of those charts, but I do have a lot of big band charts.
Mm.
I followed. The man was wise, he was smarter, and I was just hanging out at the Parisian Room. And I was trying to get on the stage. Mm-hmm. I sat there 2 years signing the paper so I could get up to sing. Mm. Finally, somebody called me up to sing.
Wow. 2 years, waiting your turn.
That's how tough it was here when I got here.
Mm.
And the man said to me, hey, you got any big band charts? He was on the piano. Mm. I'll tell you who he was. He's married to the first black Playboy bunny and the first black James Bond girl, Phil Wright.
Mm.
He was Nancy Wilson's musical conductor.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
And he said, you know, you're a pretty good little singer. You need some guidance. And Cleanhead would say, go over there.
Oh,
and
Eddie sit. Cleanhead Vincent.
Eddie Cleanhead, go over there and sit down. You ain't all that cute.
Ooh.
Go over there and sit down. Sit over there with my wife.
Mr. Kidney Stew.
And don't you be sleeping with none of them musicians, neither. I'm going to tell you. And leave them club owners alone. Today, I have never had a musician or a club owner as a boyfriend.
That's why you don't keep working.
Go over there and say, hey, get your own style. You ain't Gladys Knight. Quit copying off the folks.
Boy.
One day, I did a car commercial.
Yeah.
And it came on television. I was working with that Say What band.
Okay.
Mm.
Jimmy Hamilton and Say What band. And Dale called me up. He said, Barbara, it's a lady doing a commercial on TV. She sounds just like you. She done stole all your licks. I said, guess what? He said, what? I said, that's me.
That's good.
Now, here's what we want to celebrate within the construct of Black Music Month.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that she has talked about tonight that's insightful and educational, it's also instructional, because the riches that she has accumulated from being internationally renowned,
mm-hmm.
she didn't stick it in her pocket. She didn't snort it away, drank it away. She brought it. And she's from Michigan originally, right?
Destroy it.
Okay, but she's cast her bucket down in this town a long time ago, and she has enriched this community, and I shouldn't use past tense because she, I remember one time a couple of years ago, Barbara, you had left town in order to make sure you could continue to build this, and you brought that money back from Europe to make sure you kept the lights on 43rd and Degnan. And that's the kind of commitment this sister and the sister behind that board has, and the people that we need to know more about as opposed to the folks that make the most noise. Let's look at people's body of work. And I'm going to continue every chance I get, Barbara, to tell people about you and what you do and why it's important. And before you get out of here, Darryl, pick up that axe one more time for me, man. That one right there. Before I had to try to play it.
Yes, boss.
Yeah,
yes,
you don't boss. Want that happen, you know. And while I'm at it, let's talk about this brother here.
Yeah,
and why. Let me tell y'all what y'all could do. Anybody that's hearing this or know people that want to have the most amazing party, I don't care what your crowd is, young or old, you can call. What's your number, Dad? Tell them your phone number, man, right now. What's your phone number?
310-686-0491. Just call Dale.
So if there's some hillbillies out there, I'm telling you, just don't raise the Confederate flag while he's there. You know what I mean?
I'll leave the light on for you.
This is Darryl Dunn, Barbara Morrison. Contact me here at the studio if you got places that these people can enrich an audience.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, it'll be a show you'll never forget. Show them better than I can tell them. What y'all want to do right now? Right quick.
I think we should write something original.
Okay.
Well, just
Darryl,
do it.
Darryl, I think you're wonderful. And you are a great teacher, too. I've seen you take a student and teach him how to play his instrument.
And I say to you, love, love, love. Oh. You spread love everywhere you go.
So do you.
God has given you a special gift. And I know that you are using it well.
Watch the way you teach the children.
Yes.
And they grow up in your image. 'Cause you're good and you're nice. And you take them to paradise.
Well, that'll make a man weak in the knees right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Baby, bless you.
Before you go, I want you to hear this next voice that's
you
about to come on. See, once they get started, they just can't stop it. You know, they just can't stop
that's
it.
That's why I'll always
hold on, Wendell. Be we'll be with you in a minute. Go ahead. Y'all do that. Y'all do that. Y'all do that. Hey.
You are the apple of my eye. Forever. You'll stay in my soul.
You know what, Barbara? You must have known that I were lonely.
Oh, yeah.
'Cause then you came to my rescue. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
And I know that this must be heaven.
How could so much love be inside of you? Oh.
You are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always be around.
Okay, now here's what y'all gonna do. Y'all gonna close out the show in a couple more minutes. I want to just plug this in because it's all relative. The brother that's on the other end of this phone right now, he does the same things that you do in terms of commitment to your craft, all right?
All right.
The next voice you'll hear is the LeBron James of construction management.
All right.
All right.
That's
and
well
so
enough.
The next time you get the opportunity to build up or out, this is the brother that'll make it sparkle.
Make right. it happen.
Hey, Wendell Stemley.
Yeah, how you doing, Bob?
Yeah, you know, you sound like he's tired. He's in Atlanta. He's getting ready to fly to Columbia, South Carolina, soon as the sun cracks open in the morning for the 48th Annual National Association of Minority Contractors Convention. It's the largest and oldest minority contractors association in the United States.
Wow.
And he told me something that I know is true 30-something years ago. He said, Bobby, the key to leadership is the following.
Yeah.
If you can't feed people, you can't lead people. This brother is putting more people to work than anybody I know or know of. So welcome, Wendell, once again to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner.
Okay, how are you?
Oh, man, you sound like you got a lump in your throat. You wore out, man. Hey, hold on one second, bro. Okay, well, here's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to let people know that this is one of the people that I did the Save Our Cities series about. And some of the things that we're getting ready to do shortly after this conference, you're going to know about it because we ain't trying to hold it out. We want to be able to put people to work all over the country. And then as things get better, the next time you have a conference, because he's a very wealthy man, but he's frugal, okay? And the people you just heard, you ain't got to get no whole band, Wendell. You ain't got to get no whole band, all right? You
just bring them,
and they'll turn it upside down and inside out. So, Wendell, I just wanted to hear your voice and affirm the fact that, you know, you're going to jump it off tomorrow, and by Friday evening, I'll have a report for everybody on the outcome of the 40th annual conference of the National Association of Minority Contractors. And thank you, Wendell, for supporting this work and everything that
I do for all these many years.
And so you can go on back to bed, man, and we'll talk later. All right, brother?
All right. You guys be good.
Boy, he sounds terrible. He's tired.
No, it's all good, Wendell.
No, he's tired, man. I understand. Man, you're dealing with these white folk like he do. Barbara, hold on. This last little 2 minutes that we're going to do, because we're ready to close out right
Wendell's
now.
Wendell's all good, baby.
No, he gone, man. He gone back to sleep, man. All right. And we're getting ready to close out. Here's my final thoughts.
Okay.
If anybody still doubts why I do this show,
this
is why. This is why. You need to know the people around the country, but particularly here where we are in Los Angeles, that have cast down their bucket where they are.
There you go.
The sister behind that board in there, OG Porter's, this lady right here, this brother right here, they not only do what they do at the highest level, they reach back for our people.
You got
because
to.
She's touching young kids to the point where they'll learn a skill that they can take anywhere in the world.
Yes.
I watched this brother do the same thing. So as we close out the show, y'all pretty much have heard enough from me tonight, and I'm going to let them finish it off. So just do whatever your spirit feels. And y'all, I need to hear from some of y'all to the extent where these people get work, because they'll bring it right back here in this
That's
community.
Right.
So thank y'all for letting me be myself. I'm going to let them speak for me right now. Whatever y'all want to do as we close out tonight's show. You know, act like y'all don't know what to do. Don't get me started. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. See, that's enough for me right there.
Cornelius Grant wrote that.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
No, he wrote I'm Losing You.
Well, just do whatever you want to do, man, because y'all just get started. You know, it's on and cracking.
Have you ever had a plan to mow the west?
Yeah.
She'll be at Pips in another 30 minutes,
Tell
ladies and gentlemen, the great Barbara Morrison.
Take the highway, it's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A.
There we go.
Almost 2,000 miles along the way. Come on and get your kicks on Route 66. You go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo and Gallup, New Mexico. Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Buster, San Bernardino. Why don't you get up early, put on your clothes, get in your car and drive? 66. You made that California trip. Come on and get your kicks on Route 66. Scat with me, dear. Scat.
Okay, Do 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 do
Route 66.
Yeah. Get your kicks
on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Shadabo dem babo doba.
Wow.
Bobby owe you some time.
Thank you, Miss Barbara Mars and Daryl Dye. We out of here, y'all.